Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
There was a special broadcast on the Oprah Winfrey Network recently that discussed the private sex lives of many men and women in today's society. The special was hosted by journalist Lisa Ling and was entitled Our America, Shades of Kinkiness, and chronicled some of the very kinky sexual activities that many men and women are likely to indulge in nowadays. One comment I found interesting during that special was when one person said that they believe it is easier to publicly announce that you are a gay man or a lesbian woman than it is to publicly announce that you are a heterosexual man or woman who has a passion for very kinky, out-of-the-ordinary sex. Would you say that comment is true? Are you a woman who currently has a reputation for being prudish and sexually conservative to one degree or another, but it is your strong desire to become more open-minded, free-spirited, and adventurous in bed with your chosen partner? Are you highly reluctant to unleash your more kinky side because you're afraid of what men might say, or you're fearful of what other women might say, or you've been brought up by your parents to always present yourself as a conservative good girl? I invited tonight's guest to my show for the specific purpose of offering advice to my female listeners who may be a wee bit reluctant to transition from the world of erotically conservative good girl behavior into a lifestyle that includes more mind-blowing sex and more erotically uninhibited and adventurous sex in the bedroom and elsewhere. Who is this woman who is more than enthusiastic about helping women bring out their inner kinky freak side? Her name is Shante Bogard, and tonight Miss Bogard is going to offer my female listeners a mouthful of words of wisdom and helpful advice as Shante takes time out of her schedule in order to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my god, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my god,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how'd you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, Mode One. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan. Father Roger Curry. Gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, January 24th, and I just want to warn you, when you do online dating, make sure you're talking to a woman if you're a man, and if you're a woman, make sure you're talking to a man. And not a woman. Of course, I'm making reference to the whole Monty Tio situation. Man, I feel bad for that dude, man. Now, the most recent revelation is that he was not even talking to a woman on the phone. He was talking to a man. But I've heard the voicemail messages, and I don't know about that. That sounded like a woman on the voicemail messages. Anyway, that's one of the bigger stories in the news today that deals with dating and relationships. The subject we're going to be talking about tonight is actually a subject I've talked about at least once, if not twice, before in the last 5.5 years of doing my show. We're going to be talking about women who currently would categorize themselves as prudish / erotically conservative, and it is their desire, if only maybe a reluctant desire, but it's their desire to become more of a kinky freak. Matter of fact, I had two female acquaintances in the last 2 to 3 weeks that in my conversation with them, that's what they told me they wanted to do, and that's half of what sparked this interest in this topic tonight, because I had a couple females that I know, they said, Alan, I am a prude. I am a self-proclaimed prude, but I'm starting to realize that I need to be more exciting in bed. I need to be more open-minded, more free-spirited, more adventurous, more experimental. So they were like, what advice can you give me that will help me transition from being a prude to more of a kinky freak? And I always tell women this. All women have what I call an inner kinky freak side. It's not that they don't have it. It's just simply whether or not they allow themselves to unleash it. I don't think it's something you necessarily need to learn how to be a freak. Although my guest tonight might say different. And when we get into the conversation, that's going to be one of the questions I'm asking. Is it something you need to learn to be, or some you need to just get more comfortable? But yeah, my general thought is that I think a lot of women have what I call layers of social programming that are blocking their inner freak side. And if they just peel away those layers, they can unleash it. And that's what's going to be the most of my conversation tonight with my guests. Is I'm going to be asking her questions along the lines of, how do women start the process of peeling away those layers and allowing themselves to be more of a freak? Because I was watching this special. It was most interesting on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Yes, men do watch the Oprah Winfrey Network. And they have this series of specials hosted by Lisa Ling. I don't know if you remember Lisa Ling. She used to be on The View. She's been on one or two other news program type shows.
And she had a special called the name of her series is called Our America. And she covers different topics. It might be Our America domestic abuse, Our America gun control, Our America the economy. And this most recent one was called Our America 50 Shades of Kinkiness, I think it was just called Shades of Kinkiness. And they talked to different men and women about some of the kinky things that they get into, why the book 50 Shades of Grey is so popular. And it was an interesting special, you know. At least half of it covered things to do with BDSM. And I've actually had one or two shows that dealt with that. BDSM, if you're unfamiliar with that acronym, that stands for bondage, domination, submission, and sadomasochism. You know, people who like to dominate their partner or be ultra submissive to their partner. If you're into that, or you're into like pulling out whips and whipping your partner or handcuffing your partner, that type of stuff, that would be considered BDSM. Some people, another nickname for it is just simply fetish sex. What's called the fetish world. Similar to that would be what's called the lifestyle, or some people refer to it as the alternative lifestyle. That would be like open marriages, swinging. Matter of fact, I want to say Lisa Ling did a separate special just on that. She did a special on swinging. Matter of fact, I remember I mentioned on the show a few times over the last couple of years, Dr. Phil did a show. It's been a while now. This is probably about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. He said that swinging and polyamorous dating was the fastest growing faction related to sex in America. There are now over 10 million people who are into some form of polyamorous dating, which would mean like swinging or couple swapping or that type of thing. And anyway, on this special though with Lisa Ling the other day, the 50 Shades of Kinkiness, the one comment that really grabbed my attention was when this person said, they said, I think it is easier nowadays, I think it is easier to publicly admit that you are a gay man or a lesbian woman than it is to publicly admit that you're a heterosexual male woman who's into very kinky sex. And I was like, wow, that's a strong statement. And in my opinion, it's a fairly valid statement. I know a lot of my male and female friends and acquaintances who are scared to let it be known that they're a freak. I mean, they might let their, you know, spouse know, or their romantic partners or sexual companions know. But beyond that, particularly women. I would say in general, both genders, but particularly women. A lot of women, man, they do not like for people to publicly know that they're into very kinky forms of sex. Like one form of kinky sex I've always been public about and forthcoming about that I even talk about in my books would be phone sex. I've never tried to hide the fact that that's probably the number one form of kinky sex that I've publicly admitted to. I indulge in phone sex quite frequently. Matter of fact, I mentioned in my book that over the last, I'd say roughly 20 years, 15, 20 years, I probably had phone sex with about, rough estimate would be somewhere between 1,600, 1,700 women. Yeah, I know somebody, some listeners right now are like, damn, almost 2,000 women. Yep. Yeah. That's probably my number one form of, you could say, kinky indulgence that I've never been afraid to admit publicly. But yeah, most people are, though. Most people are fearful of, letting it be known that they do something kinky, even have sex outside the bedroom. You know, like I've talked to people, like women who say, I don't like for my own sister to know that I have sex outside the bedroom. I'm like, damn, it's like that? So anyway, that's going to be the subject tonight. I got love for all my listeners. But of course, I got much love for those listeners who listen to my show live, and more specifically, my chat room listeners. And I don't see a lot of my regulars, but I see a few. I see my younger cousin from Chicago, J-Rock, J.P. Jones from Chicago is in my chat room. I got the MB Network in my chat room. I got Mitch McCrawlin in my chat room. I got about 3 or 4 guests in my chat room, and I'm sure some of my other regular and semi-regular listeners will be tuning in as the conversation goes on. Other shout-outs would be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. As I mentioned, one of my younger cousins, my other younger cousins, at the bar, Maplewood, New Jersey, Christopher Curry in Detroit, Michigan, all the women of my female supporters group on Facebook. Got about a little under 400 women in my female supporters group on Facebook. Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam III, EVP3 from Seattle. That's right. Edie Lee Harris, Vanessa Turner, a number of other people I can give shout-outs to. The NBA All-Stars, the reserves were announced today, and two of the Bulls made it. That's right. Chicago Bulls, man. See, people thought they was going to fall apart without Derrick Rose. But Joakim Noah made the All-Star team, the reserves, and Luol Deng made the All-Stars reserves. So I'm happy for him. I'm excited for him. Yes, indeed. Some people feel like a couple of people got snubbed, like Lopez from the Brooklyn Nets. Forget Brooklyn, man. They fired Avery Johnson after he got Coach of the Month. That's cold, man. I ain't got no love for the Brooklyn Nets, man. You going to fire your coach a few weeks after he gets Coach of the Month? Come on. That's just wrong on all levels. The rumor is that Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard are not getting along with each other. That's the rumor. They said they had a heated meeting recently, and Kobe just said, hey, man, you got problems with me? Then he was like, dude, I will fuck you up. I will fuck your 7-foot ass up. No, I'm just joking. No, he didn't say the oh, shit.
Alan, you're stupid.
Couldn't you picture Kobe just getting into Dwight Howard's face like, man, I will fuck you up, man. You big ass. Anyway, now, Kobe, you know, I respect him as a hooper. Same with Dwight Howard. They both were talented basketball players. You know, I hope they can work out the differences. But I have to say, on record, I predicted to friends and acquaintances, I predicted that when Steve Nash got to L.A. and Dwight Howard got to L.A., it wasn't going to result in them, you know, being a championship contender. A lot of Lakers fans thought they would immediately become, an NBA contender, and it has not happened. I predicted it, so there you go. I read the most ridiculous story today. Okay, brace yourselves for this one. Some Republicans are calling for President Obama's resignation. And this is going to just trip you out, the reason why they want him to resign. They want him to resign because they say that he allowed Beyonce to sing the national anthem while lip syncing. Man, there's some people that just got too much free time on their hands. That is the most ridiculous. I mean, I guess I should be surprised. I know there's just a lot of net cases. But come on, I just see you throwing that out as just a simple criticism or comment. But to ask the president resign, man, please, give me a fucking break. Going back to sports for a second, Tom Brady got fined for, I don't know if you watched the game last week, but when he slid, he, like, kicked his leg up in the air. And see, everybody always wanted to treat him like he was the golden boy that doesn't do any wrong. But Tom Brady, he's not right. Yep, he kicked his leg up, and now he got fined, I think, like $10,000 or something. There you go. Anyway, I'm going to get this conversation started after this intermission break. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back after this intermission break.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help him and help him and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. And tonight's guest was born and raised in Flint, Michigan. I have a fellow, used to be a fellow Blog Talk Radio host, was from Flint, Michigan, went by the name Dangerous Lee. Me and her were real cool. We're still cool, actually. But my guest tonight, yeah, she's born and raised in Flint, Michigan. She holds a degree, a bachelor's degree in management and organizational development, and a master's in family life studies, and she's currently pursuing an additional master's in marriage and family therapy at Liberty University. She was responsible for creating in Michigan a global women's summit. That's right. See, she's a woman who makes things happen. She's been featured in Women to Women of Michigan magazine. She's been the cover girl for Women to Women magazine. She is a well-respected dating and relationships consultant, a life coach, an advice columnist, contributing advisor for Divine Caroline. She's been interviewed on ABC in Michigan and just been featured in a number of other media publications. She's the author of a book entitled Temporarily Disconnected: How to Turn On the Power in Your Life, which is a motivational book to help women deal with some unexpected episodes of adversity in their life. She's the CEO of an organization called Reconnect My Life Consulting. She loves mentoring women. She loves art. She loves music. And she received a proclamation from the city of Flint for creating that aforementioned Global Women's Summit. She's a woman who makes things happen, just the type of woman I love having on my show. So listeners, on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network and Upfront and Straightforward, give it up for Miss Shante Bogard.
Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome, Shante. I like the way she just starts off with that smooth, sexy voice. She's like, thank you for having me. So, Miss Make It Happen in Michigan. Well, first of all, as I do with most guests, I like to get an idea of what incident or what series of events in their life motivated them to choose the career that they chose. So what happened in your life that made you say, I want to work with men and women, and particularly women, about their relationships and just about improving the quality of their life in general?
Well, what happened with me, Alan, is that I got divorced.
Okay.
So it was a life-changing factor for myself. And after being in a marriage for about 12 years and with the man for 15 years, I was thrown into the world of dating, and it was really unfamiliar to me because we married at such a young age. So to navigate through the world of dating was very difficult for me because it was very different from high school.
Yes, adult dating is to me.
So I became actually a serial dater at one time where I didn't want to settle down, and I just enjoyed the fact of dating, going
okay.
out, having a good time, and enjoying myself.
Okay.
But then it got to a point where, you know, you start to develop bonds with people, and and learning about what I wanted after marriage and a relationship was very different from when I got married. So I decided, based on my experience, to help other women, mostly women, and men navigate through the world of dating by having dialogue and discussing our differences and making sure people are honest about what they want and what they're looking for.
Oh, now you know you got to say that again.
Making sure that people are honest about what they want and what they're looking for.
Yeah, see, that relates to my, I don't know how much research you've done on me since I've invited you on the show, but I have 4 books out, and they each have different content to a degree, but the main underlying theme of all of them is what you just said. It's about encouraging people, and particularly men, to be more upfront and straightforwardly honest about what they want and what they're looking for. So usually I don't ask this favor this early in the show, but I'm going to ask you at the beginning of the show, and I do this with just about all my guests, I want you to stretch out the O's in mode and give me your sexiest mode one.
Mode one.
Mode one. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one. You're up front, straightforward.
Mode one. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one. Mode one.
Listeners, that might be the earliest I've ever had a guest do the moo. But anytime a guest mentions something to do with straightforward honesty and, like she said, you know, be honest about what you want, what you're looking for, that just provokes me to go, moo. Okay, as you were saying, no, I'm a character.
Yes, you are.
You were talking about how, so the divorce kind of threw you for a loop, and so that made you say, hey, I'm having challenges dealing with this, and I want to help other women who might be experiencing the same challenges, huh?
That's right. That's right, and I find that people need that advice. Sometimes people, they don't necessarily want to come and ask for advice. You have to create an environment so they're comfortable enough to ask. And that's what I do with the events that I create right here in Flint. I do what I call Let's Reconnect events, where I bring women and men together, the single, married, dating, whatever have you, and I develop an environment so they're comfortable enough to talk, along with some drinks. That helps. Get them comfortable.
She said, get them comfortable.
Let go for inhibition.
Hey, now let me ask you, do you know a woman, her real name I think is Lee Langston, and she goes by the name Dangerous Lee?
Dangerous Lee, yes, I do know her. She was a part of my Let's Reconnect event last Valentine's Day.
Get out of here.
You'll find the pictures on my website.
Well, you know, it's funny. This is a small world, Shante, because Dangerous Lee, whenever I do my anniversary show, which will be coming up in late May, early to mid-June of this year, I always talk about how I got started on Blog Talk Radio and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she's one of the people I always give a major shout-out to, because she was one of the people who helped me. I had started doing my show, but then I was going to quit. I got a little frustrated because I had some early guests flake on me, like two or 3 weeks in a row I had guests flake on me, and I got pissed, and I was like a little kid who wants to take his ball and go home. I was like, I'm not doing this show anymore, fuck it. And so I went like 2 or 3 months without doing a show, and then I came to Baltimore to visit, because I had heard her show before, a couple other shows. Anyway, make a long story short, she was one of the ones, along with this other guy who used to do a show called Dr. Blogstein's Comedy Hour. They were the two that said, no, Alan, we listened to your show. Your show was very professional. you need to keep doing it. You need to start it back up again. And so I did in January 2008. And as they say, the rest is history. And I've been going for 5 years since. And but, yeah, I have much love for her. And she's like the number one person I know from Flint, Michigan. So that's
okay.
Interesting that she came to your event. And, yeah, she's real cool. I've never met her in person, but through the Internet, she's, like, the coolest.
Yep, she is.
But, yeah, you make an important point. That is such an important point for people who organize events, particularly that relate to sensitive issues, such as stuff that might have to do with dating relationships or sex. You made the comment. You said, I want to make it comfortable, the environment comfortable for people to want to open up and ask questions they want to ask and reveal things about their life. That is so important. So if you're listening to this show right now and you work in the area either of dating and relationships or some other area that people are reluctant to talk about things or ask things, take Shantae's advice and give me two or three specifics. You mentioned drinks. I know that always helps loosen people up. But are two to three things you as an event organizer will do to make a man and or woman feel more comfortable either revealing something about their life or asking for words of wisdom from you?
Well, a couple of things I do. First, I have a bucket, my silver bucket that I pass around, and I let people put their questions in. That way they could remain private. And then I have those people that it doesn't matter. They don't need to put nothing in the bucket. They'll go to the mic and they'll ask the question. I always set up a panel discussion, and I have people from the community who are opinionated about relationships that more like icebreakers where they get people talking based on what their opinions are. So then people are more moved to get up and say, hey, I want the mic because I got a response. A rebuttal to that question, that statement that man just made up on the stage. And I try to have a diverse group of people. My last event, I had a pastor in the bar on the stage talking about relationships along with a lesbian and along with some opinionated men, other opinionated men and women. So I try to mix it up.
Interesting. Hey, you had a past up in the bar, boy. You must be a persuasive. He was like, pastor, come on, be a pastor.
You have to take your ministry beyond the walls.
Ain't that something? Okay.
But it proved to be a very fun event, and people were able to let go and be themselves and ask questions, along with some fun games that helped too. So.
Okay. Now, your book. How long has your book been out?
I published my book in 2010, the summer of 2010.
Okay. And so was that provoked by a lot of what you've already told me, that the fact that, like, when you get divorced, it, like, really threw you for a loop, and you said, well, let me write a book, or it deals with some other stuff?
Well, what happened was once I made the decision to divorce and I seen my life going in another path than my ex-husband, once I made that decision, I went through a lot of drama, not just with the marriage, but other things that escalated and happened in my life within a short period of time, and I was able to maintain my sanity and not go crazy because of it. And so I started to share my story with sharing is important.
To share my story with
others.
Well, since you use the word share, and you're on a show that's called Upfront and Straightforward, so I like my guests to be as frank and forthcoming and revealing as possible, so I'm going to be nosy. Give me two or three aspects of this drama that you experienced as your marriage came to a close and you re-entered the dating world. What are some specific things you dealt with that you wanted other people to know?
Let's see. I'm not afraid to share. I went through a bankruptcy. My car was taken from me. I had a car stolen.
Wow.
I had a car repoed.
Wow.
I was having issues on my job. I had decided to go back to school, and in the meantime, I was raising three teenage sons, which they didn't give me any issues, as most single mothers would have. But it's just the process of having to take them to the games and having to come up with money and going from two incomes to one. That hurt. So having to survive that all and maintain my sanity was something that I was able to share with other women and men.
Now, wait a minute.
And they're like,
and I'm being nosy here for sure, but your ex-husband didn't contribute financially to your son's expenses?
He is a great father. But during the same time he was dealing with his, right after we decided to divorce, he ended up going on dialysis in his early 30s.
Wow.
Where he needed a kidney transplant. So he went from having a full-time job to having to go on disability.
Wow. Okay.
So that hurt, because when you're trying to go for disability, you have no income.
Yeah.
Or little to none coming in. So it was me.
Interesting. Okay.
But I held it down.
You held it down?
I held it down. I got through it. That's why I wrote the book.
And what's been a lot of the feedback you've been receiving from your book?
A lot of positive feedback, because in the book I go from talking about goal setting to finding your inner strength, and also to learning how to forgive, because so many of us carry around baggage from one relationship to the other without getting rid of the baggage that's affecting us.
Okay.
As far as relationships go, we're taking baggage to other relationships, and it just destroys things, and it's just like this vicious cycle. So once you forgive, you don't forget, because you don't want to make the same mistake twice.
Yeah.
But helping women forgive and move on, so they're able to grow and be the best that they're able to be, mother, wives, girlfriends, coworkers, or they're walking around just being a bitch.
Oh.
You probably know a lot of them. But I won't go there, because we're not talking about that today.
My, are you perceptive? Boy, I tell you, don't get me started. That's another two-hour episode. Okay, now, getting to the crutch of tonight's conversation. Have you ever found yourself, Shante, or if not you, a relative, a very close friend, neighbor, coworker, whoever, a woman who was like, came to you and was like, I want to be more kinky in bed, but I'm scared. Or my boyfriend told me he wants me to try this and try that, but I'm reluctant to. Or, you know, people call me a prude, but I really want to be more kinky. So first question would be, hey, if either you at any point self-proclaimed yourself as a prude, or did you have somebody, a girlfriend that was close to you, that categorized herself as a prude?
Between myself and a lot of the women I know, we tend to, at some point in our lives, I would say, limit ourselves. We tend to put ourselves within this box because we're stuck with what I call this good girl syndrome. Good girls don't do that. Good girls don't give head. Good girls don't strip for their man. You know, that's for the woman of the streets to do that. And we fall into that because that's what society wants us to think culturally here in the U.S., to be nude, to do things like that, to be orally fixated or something like that, is taboo. And once
you know,
you move beyond that, good girl, get out of that good girl image, then we're able to really enjoy ourselves and let go of some inhibitions that we have.
Yeah, so funny. I remember years ago I met this woman. And I don't think for the rest of my life I'll forget this woman, because at the time she was the first woman who ever literally begged me to suck my dick. I never had a woman beg me to suck my dick. She was like, "Oh, Alan, please let me suck your dick. Please, please." I was like, "Shit, you ain't got to beg that much, but I enjoy it. You know, it's kind of kinky, you begging." So anyway, let her suck my dick. And, I mean, she gave me one of the best blowjobs to this day. And so anyway, we talked about it afterwards. I was like, "Damn, you suck dick like you've been waiting 10 years to suck a dick and you'd always been prohibited from doing it." And she was like, "Well, that's kind of the truth." And then she went on to say, she said, "Alan, well, I got a confession." She said, "I'm actually engaged." I said, "What? You didn't tell me you was in a relationship?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm engaged, but I'm getting ready to break it off." And she said, "This me sucking your dick relates to why I'm going to break it off." I was like, "Okay, wait a minute. You had explained this to me." And she says that her fiancé at the time was this very religious guy. He was always quoting scriptures from the Bible. And I'm not criticizing people who are into the word. Hey, you know, if you're spiritual, more power to you. But he had this thing, she said, where he was like, you know, when she would offer to give head, he would say, "No, that's disgusting. That's what a street prostitute would do. No future wife of mine is going to have their lips on my penis. That is totally disgusting. Really, we shouldn't be having premarital sex. Period, but I'm allowing myself to give in to sin because I care for you." And I was like, "You got to be kidding." She's like, "No, this is all true." And she said, "Yeah, he wouldn't let me." And so, yeah, she had been dying to do it. And I was like, "Wow, I'm glad to be the beneficiary." But
wow.
Since then, that episode, I've met other women who had kind of sort of similar experiences with guys, and if it wasn't a boyfriend or a fiance or a husband who was kind of influencing their prudishness, it had been their parents. A lot of women said their father would tell them, "Don't do this and don't do that, or you'll be thought of as a hoe or a slut," or as a mother who told them some, or just society in general, it's people at the church. So, yeah, I think there definitely are quite a few women that do experience, as you call it, the good girl syndrome. And
right.
One thing I mentioned on this show before that I find most interesting is that me and my best friend, he lives in Indianapolis, and we were talking about women we went to college with one time. And one thing we found that was interesting is that a lot of the women who we went to college with who had a reputation for being, you know, kinky, or if not kinky, promiscuous or free-spirited, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the vast majority of those women were married.
Mm-hmm.
Versus a lot of the women who went out their way to present themselves as prudish good girls, we assessed those women, most of those women were still single to this day. So,
wow.
So that, you know, because that's why it's interesting to me, because the whole reason why most women will say that they're taught to be a good girl, either by their mother, father, both, or whoever else, is that it's going to make them more appealing as a wife. But the reality is, I know a lot of, I got some women right now as I speak who are my Facebook friends, who for as long as I've known them have been kind of self-proclaimed prudish types. And they ain't never been married. Most of them ain't even never had a long-term boyfriend. And it's like, okay, how is being approved benefiting you?
It's so. Almost like we have to change the meaning or definition of what a good girl is. You can be a good girl or a good woman in the context of a relationship and be uninhibited and feel free to try things. And that's what it's all about between you and your partner. It's one thing, I think, if you're trying it out with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, because then you'll fall into this other category where you're just being promiscuous and there's no value in that. But I think there's value when you're doing it within a relationship and giving your all to a man or woman and giving that 110% and letting them know, hey, I'm willing to try this, or let's try this, baby. Let's do this, you know? So I think we just need to change the context of what a good girl can give head to her boyfriend. A good girl can do a striptease for her husband.
Wait, go back to the first one. A good girl can do what a boyfriend?
Give head.
What's the more urban, the more slang way of saying give head?
See, I don't know if you're censored on here.
No, I'm totally, I'm absolutely uncensored. You can be as triple X rated as you want to, Shantae.
A good girl can suck a dick.
Oh, shit.
How does that sound?
Say it again.
A good girl can suck a dick.
That's
in the context of a loving relationship.
You know, I see a title to your next book. I'll buy that motherfucker from Barnes & Noble immediately. Good girls can suck dick. Man, I can see you on Today Show now. We're here with Shantae Bogart in her newest bestseller, Good Girls Can Suck a Dick.
Have you ever thought about this? Sometimes women are so concerned with being considered slutty and don't realize that sometimes we're emotionally slutty. Because
we
can reveal too much.
Term.
Yeah, we can reveal too much about ourselves too soon emotionally. And we're worried about giving up too soon. Giving up too soon. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard that term. Is that a Shantae original or some other expert? I like that. Emotionally slutty.
Yeah.
Ain't that so?
That's another book.
The emotional slut. that's very interesting. Okay, let me ask you. Well, before I ask you, I'm going to take an intermission break. Listeners, I see a couple people in my phone queue. If you have a question for my guest or you just want to contribute a comment or opinion to the conversation, you can call 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. And when you call in, press the number 1, then I get a little flag or a little hand that lets me know that you're not just listening, that you actually want to say something. So if you call in, area code 609, I do see you. So I'll get to you after the intermission break. But right now I'm going to take a brief intermission so my guests can get a swig of water. But when I get back, I'll have more conversations for Miss Shantae Bogart. And before I go to my intermission, see, women, this is the goal that all us men want to hear. This is how we want to hear you sound.
Ah, oh, so good.
That's how we wanna. That's how us men wanna listen to you, women sound. So, I'll be right back with more questions for Shantae. Don't go anywhere.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist. This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on The Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on The Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on The Erotic Conversationalist. So I'm getting treated for
my sex disease. This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on The Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on The Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on The Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of The Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.com.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Tuning in, it's nice to see you all again. So,
if you found this page, I'm guessing at least on some level you'd like more success.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog with lots of adventures and tips, it's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome. And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls. If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you. He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from. Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my first name.
Okay. Well, yeah, I will see you.
You will?
Ryan.
Ryan. We do.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the streets. You know, chat girls on the streets. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. Just want a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah. Check out the bootcamp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and
stop being a fucking. Just what? I mean, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my discussion about prudish women who are reluctant to unleash their more kinky and erotically uninhibited side with Shantae Bogard on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. And on tonight's episode, what we're discussing is women who either categorize themselves as an erotically conservative prude, or if not themselves, they have close friends or acquaintances or their relatives or ex-boyfriends, ex-lovers who have told them that they're prudish and that they need to kind of, you know, let their hair down and loosen up a little bit. And so I've invited a guest by the name of Shantae Bogard, and she's here to offer her brand of advice and words of wisdom to women on how they can make the transition from being that conservative prude to a more adventurous, uninhibited, experimental type spouse or lover, companion, etc. First, I will go to the phone lines. I have area code 609-609, you are now Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Shantae Bogard. What's your question or comment?
All right. Well, first, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, sir.
Oh, no problem.
Shantae, good evening to you, ma'am.
How you doing?
I'm doing outstanding, ma'am. My name's Kareem, and I was basically just calling in because, like, you know, I'm kind of new to information with regard to Mode 1 and learning Mr. Curry stuff, but it's actually pretty good and I like it. And
well, I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, I mean, like, compared to the indirection I used to do, I like this stuff better. It's just more real. And to be honest, like, it's not many brothers out there, so to actually relate to a brother is, like, finally, you know, somebody I can actually relate to. But the question is more along the lines of I'm going to be joining the military soon. So typically, based on the situation, females are going to be more conservative by just default. That's just the code of conduct. So how would I go about being necessarily mode one and approaching a chick that I'm, you know, actually attracted to, but I still have to be within a certain realm of proper under military code and conduct? If you get what I'm saying, like, you know what I mean? Like, how would I?
Kareem, are you talking about fraternizing in the military?
Yeah, not necessarily. I'm just talking about being direct and to the point, but not, you know, getting kicked out from sexual harassment. You know what I mean? Like, how am I ready?
Well, I'll answer and then I'll let Shantae offer her thoughts, but she asked you a valid question because I've never been in the military, but from what I know, there's actually specific rules about interacting with members of the opposite gender. So I think the first step for you would be to find out what those rules are and make sure you're not violating any of those rules. I would say the same situations if you were thinking about approaching a woman at work. And,
exactly.
You know, they have sexual harassment laws, so you want to make sure you know basically what you can get away with and what you can't. But yeah, once you find out what you are allowed to do, then of course you know what my advice is: just be confident and upfront and straightforward. And I mean, you don't have to start off say maybe using triple X-rated language like I do most of the time, but you know, let her know you're interested and that you want to connect with her on a level that goes beyond, you know, just a platonic play brother, play sister. Definitely make that clear that you're not looking for a new, you know, platonic friend, and then basically let the conversation unfold from there. Shantae, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's important to find out what the rules of the military are. That way you don't get slapped with a lawsuit or end up getting kicked out. Because some of Mr. Curry's advice can be rather direct. But I understand.
Now, Shantae, you acted like you read Bo 1 and Ooh, Say It Again.
So, yeah, checking out what those rules are is definitely important. And don't let her guess. If there's a woman you're interested in and you know you can go after her in a safe way without getting yourself in trouble, let her know. Women, judging from my point of view, we hate games. We like a man to tell us what he's thinking.
Well, tell it. You like them when they tell you what they're really thinking, don't you?
Say it again.
She catches on fast, Kareem. And remember, Kareem, when you talk to these women of interest, let them know. Say, hey, don't be afraid. Good girls can suck a dick, too.
I haven't turned to emotional sluts. I mean, crazy. Crazy.
Well, I appreciate your call, young brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll definitely be calling back in. I just want to see if I can get through. So it happens. So, shit, I'll be calling back like next week. So, yeah. I appreciate it.
Okay. Appreciate you listening. Take care.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Let me see. I got a area code 864. 864, you know, up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
First of all, good evening. My name is Rio, and I'm calling from Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Rio from South Carolina. Okay.
Yes. And second of all, good evening to I forgot her name.
Shantae Bogart.
Shantae. First of all, good evening, Shantae. I know the topic is related to women, but as a man, as an African American man, I was kind of hoping you could probably help me out a little bit from a male, from a female to a man's perspective.
Shantae,
okay.
You willing to help him out?
Sure. What question do you have?
I like the topic about conservative, how women are conservative, are trying to find their inner freak. I'm kind of trying to do the same thing myself. The only difference is, on top of that, I'm gay. I'm gay. I'm out the closet. My friends and family know about me, and I know who I am. I know what I want, and I'm not afraid to say who I am. I'm not afraid to deny who I am.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. The problem is, and this is something I've been battling on and off since I came out the closet, which is about 9 years ago, is, like I said, the conservative down-low discretion thing. That's something, me personally, I just can't get into. And it has really held me back from me trying to find inner freak because until previously, I was celibate for 2 years. And even before that, I'll start from the beginning. I'm originally from Detroit, but I've been in Spartanburg, South Carolina for about 5 years. During those 5 years, it's been very hard to find a man who is even on the least bit who has common sense, much less has anything sexual. And previously, I was celibate for 2 years because it just wasn't worth it. The few men that were gay, they were users, manipulators, they would do anything, you know, to get what they want. And I didn't want to be around that type of area. On top of that, the whole down-low, discreet thing, it's just something that's really, excuse my language, really fucked me up over the years. My question is, and maybe you can help me out, or maybe the host can help me out, is how do you deal with it? You know what you want. You're not afraid to get it. You know, But yet you just don't know what to do. You feel alone and you feel trapped. You can't just reach out and touch anybody. Now, I'm the type of person, like Janet Jack said, you know, I just want someone to hold me, but I can't reach out to anybody. I get so lonely, and I can't let anyone just hold me.
So I'm confused as to what exactly the question is. Are you talking about you're not on a down low?
No, I'm not.
But the men that you are attracted to or gravitating towards, are they on a down low?
Pretty much, yes.
So
I hate it.
Well, you can't control pretty much what they're doing or how they're expressing themselves. If that's the type of man that you're attracted to, that's something you're going to have to deal with outside of those that are on the down low.
Right, exactly. I don't deal with it. I could very easily do it if I choose not to, because I think I deserve better. You know, just because I'm gay doesn't mean I deserve to be with a man who's not even going to acknowledge me or can't even have the balls to admit that he loves me in public. You know, life is too short, and you're wasting time hiding because you're afraid of what your mama in the church is going to say to you.
Alan, do you have any suggestions?
Honestly, I don't. First, I want to say I empathize with your frustration dealing with people who are letting, I guess, the fear of other people's opinions dictate their behavior. That's always frustrating. I've dealt with that with women to one degree or another. But as Shantae has pretty much already expressed, one of the things when I deal with clients and I do coaching sessions with various clients, I tell them, you cannot concern yourself with how other people are behaving towards other people and even towards you. The only thing you have control over is how you behave towards others and how you allow them to behave towards you. Again, how you behave towards others and how you allow them to behave towards you. Everything else is out of your control. So first you need to just assess on paper. Think about all your scenarios you've dealt with men. Identify what the problem is, then start writing down what you think are potential solutions, and then distinguish what is within my control to change and improve my relationships with men and what is out of my control. And whatever is listed under what's out of your control, you just don't worry about it. Just you know, don't even direct energy towards that category. Only concentrate, again, on those specific steps you can take for you to change and improve. And another thing I would agree with Shantae, it kind of sounds, based on your comments, it sounds like you tend to be attracted to the men who are frustrating you. It's like if I was to say, you know, women get on my nerves who are too chatty, who talk too much. But then when my friends analyze all the women I pursue, they find that all the women I pursue are women that just like to yik-yak and talk a lot. I mean, see, that's on me. I'm being attracted to a woman who has a quality that frustrates me. I need to change the type of women I go after. And same with you. You need to go after men with higher integrity, that had the balls to be straightforwardly honest about their sensuality, not only with you, but with others in their life. And you need to be patient about waiting until you find someone who fits all the criteria that you have for a romantic commitment.
Right. And it's okay to hold on to your cookies until that right guy comes along.
You know, both of you raise a very valid point, and I don't disagree on neither one of your sides. And, you know, I have, like any other man or woman or child or whatever, I do have standards. But you know, my standards are reasonable. He doesn't have to have a six-pack or seven figures. If anything, he has to have two things: to be out the closet and have a job. That's it.
So you know what, Rio? Start looking for ones out the closet, because right now all your men are in the closet.
Well, I get that. But at the same time, and trust me, there's a lot of men down here that do hit on me, who are DL, and I don't give them any attention. So I am picky with men. But it just seems like the farther I get to know them, that's the whole discretion thing. And it's like, and honestly, I'm not saying it isn't all the men, because it's not. But you know, due to the area that I'm living in, I live in a state where it's considered to be the Bible Belt, where people are closed-minded and spoon-fed a lot of things. So it's very hard for me. I'm a Yankee. I do things differently.
Well, with all due respect, Rio, I'm going to have to cut this kind of short. I want to continue to offer you advice. I don't know what I can offer you more than I already have. But the more you're talking, the more I'm just realizing that your issue is an important issue, but it's not directly relevant to what we're talking about tonight, which is prudish women who want to become more kinky. So
I understand, and I do apologize if I took away from the issue. I just heard prudish and conservative, and I'm like, oh my God, it's right up my alley. I'm just not a woman. I'm sorry. So I do apologize to you and Chante.
Oh, no problem. Hey, man,
no problem.
Always willing to help out fellow brother, you know, and so, hey, hopefully maybe I can do a show that would be more germane to your issues in the future, and if so, check my website, and I'll keep you posted. But I do appreciate you calling in and sharing, you know, your frustrations with my guest and I, and hopefully, you know, you'll take heed to what she told you and what I told you. But, yeah, again, the biggest thing, you can't worry about things that are out of your control.
This is true.
Good luck, Maria.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Okay, Chante, you I'm going to put you in a fictional scenario. You and two girlfriends decide you to get together and y'all play some cards. Okay, for cards, it's three girlfriends. So now you got three girlfriends with you. Mm-hmm. Y'all playing cards, sipping on wine, and you decide to pop in this porno movie that just got these couples doing all kinds of wild and kinky stuff. And one by one, each of these three girlfriends start confessing to you. They say, Chante, I wish I could be like the women in the video. I wish I could be that comfortable being that kinky, but I just feel like such a prude. And my last boyfriend or my last husband, he always told me I was too frigid and prudish. Do you have any advice for us? What would be the first 5 to 10 things that you would tell your three girlfriends who are watching that porno movie with you?
First, I would really want to know what's stopping them from doing what they want to do. Is it part of their personality, or was it an experience that went bad that's preventing them from being that woman in that video? That's key, because with most women, they're hung up on something. Something is stopping them. So if you're able to identify what those thoughts and beliefs are, you're able to start to remove some of the inhibitions a woman may have. It could be as simple as not wanting to be, let's say, naked in front of a man. They want the lights off. Maybe they're uncomfortable with their body, so they have to learn to be comfortable with themselves so they can be comfortable in front of someone. It reminds me of something I heard about Halle Berry. Beautiful woman. Beautiful woman. But in the movie Swordfish, she had an issue with being naked in that video, in that movie. But once she was able to get over her fear of nudity, she said that was the best thing she could have did for her career, and then she went on to do Monster Boss. So it's finding out what that fear is, what's stopping you. Because you can be or do what you want to do. It's just finding out what what your hang-ups are. And it could be as simply as how you were raised. Maybe you got caught masturbating when you were smaller, and now you're scared. You have a fear of doing it. You know?
You know, that's funny, because I've met and talked to a lot of women who they have experienced that very scenario. I've had women say, yeah, my mother and or father told me that masturbation was horrible. It was this horrible sin. And I'm like, so you telling me you don't play with your pussy? And some of them even said, not at all, or it took them a while. Like, I've met women who said they didn't start playing with their pussy until they were like 35 years old. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
And I can see that. I know some women like that too, to this day, that wouldn't want to do that. It could be somebody walked in on their parents having sex, and their mom was getting banged real hard and moaning and hollering, and now they can't do it doggy style because they had a picture of their mama having sex.
Oh, I know you said that very seriously, but damn, that's
And I do know friends who have seen walked in on their parents. And it has ruined them.
You might be too young to remember when Arsenio Hall had a show. Matter of fact, he's coming out with a new show.
I heard.
You know, you're familiar with Arsenio Hall?
Yeah.
He on one of his episodes of his old show, he talked about that. I forget what he was talking about. Somebody got on the subject of sex. And he said, I think the situation was he had walked in on a friend or something having sex. And he was joking about how, you know, you want to be nosy and watch. Then he said, there's only really two people you just don't want to ever watch have sex. He said, that's your parents. Then he started doing that gesture like he was cringing. He's like, uh-huh. He's like, wouldn't y'all agree with me? And, of course, most of the audience is like, yeah, yeah. He said, you just don't want, you don't want to even think. You know, deep down, you know that's how you got here. It's because they was doing the nasty, but you just don't really want to think about your
mother. You don't
want to
see that picture.
And, you know what's so funny is that, well, of course, we're different in many ways than animals. That's what makes us human beings. But one thing I've always found interesting about animals, if you watch some YouTube videos, animals, they fuck all the time in front of their offspring. Like, there was this YouTube, a friend sent me a long time ago, this gorilla, man, was fucking the shit out of his wife, I guess you want to call her. And two children were right there, just sitting there. And I'm like, damn, okay. But, yeah, I can see how that might, you know, mess somebody up for a while. So we got hang-ups. So far we got getting caught masturbating or being taught that masturbating is bad, walking in on your parents. Give me two or three other hang-ups based on your conversations with women that would lead to them becoming a prude in the first place.
Misinformation.
They have
misinformation. They don't do something because somebody said if you do this, something will happen to you. Some people don't want to experience or try anal sex because they feel like if they have to go do number two, it's going to fall out of them. Because you stretched it.
Wow.
You know, there's some misperceptions people have about sex and continue to have to make them the prudish person that they are, because they'll say in a minute, well, I'm not doing that. Such and such almost died because he put his dick too far down her throat. She threw up. You ain't putting that in my mouth.
Wow. That's funny.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote in my chat room, religion. Would you say religion is a big one?
Yeah, religion is a big one. You're pushed to not to have sex until you're married. then you have the group of people who may have been married and divorced, and okay, you're a grown woman, grown man. Are you going to wait to have sex? And then it's that guilt. They may feel guilt or they may feel shame because of it, of their religion, whatever that may be.
Uh-huh.
And in some religions, they value certain things. In some cultures, they value virginity. So,
yeah, that's funny you mentioned that. I did a coaching session with a client who spent the first, I want to say, like 15 years of his life in India. And since then, he's been here in the States. But he was telling me, he said, yeah, Alan, he said, in India, you can't really pursue women for casual sex. I said, really? He said, no, not at all. I mean, it's not illegal, but it's extremely frowned upon. He said, it's even frowned upon to even just flirt with women. And I was like, seriously? And I guess, you know, I'm ignorant to a lot of the cultural ways of India. But, yeah, he was saying that in India, you're really not supposed to be flirtatious with a woman, romantic with a woman, or sexual with a woman until you get engaged. And in their culture, it's the reverse. Here in America, you would get into a relationship, get to know someone, and then if you feel that that bond is strong, you as the man go ahead and propose, and hopefully the woman says yes. In India, it's interesting, most of their marriages, if not all of their marriages, are prearranged by the parents. You get engaged first, then you get to know that person. So let's use me and you as example. If my parents were cool with your parents, they would say to you, we want you to marry Alan, and my parents would say, we want you to marry Shantae. Then they would have an engagement ceremony for us, and at this point, we don't even really know each other.
Right.
And we would be engaged, and then over the next few weeks, next few months, we would get to know each other. And then if it's mutually agreed that we have chemistry, then we go through with the engagement and the marriage. Or even if just one of us is disgruntled, like say you were disgruntled, but I said, no, the chemistry's fine, then both parents would expect us to go through with the marriage. The only way it would be canceled is if both of us said, no, this ain't working. Anyway, I went on a segue about
right.
Indian culture, but I brought that up to say that how those cultural influences, along with religious influences, can affect very much how you behave towards a member of the opposite sex. And
right. And in those cultures, too, they have in the Indian culture, they marry so young, they have child marriages. So there's an issue with the child marriages there, on top of issues with gang rapes. There are more gang rapes in India than in the U.S. because they're so restrictive.
Wow.
So just the
I read a horrible story just in the last 2-4 weeks. Some woman, well, I don't want to even go there. That's negative energy. So, okay, we talked about religion being a hang-up, getting called masturbating, seeing your parents fucking. Anything else you think contributes to a woman developing hang-ups that causes her to become a prude?
I would say that they think they know what the guy wants. If they're in a relationship, don't assume you know what he wants or what he's looking for. Communication is key. You need to be open to talk open and honestly with your partner. I always refer to as sexual disclosure. It's okay to let someone know what you like and what you don't like and be honest, because that's where people mess up at. And I have an issue sometimes with women leading men on beforehand, making them think that they're freaky. And then they get them, and they turn into a prude. That's a whole other topic right there.
Ooh, I might have to invite you back, Shantae. I know what you're talking about.
They
I know what you're talking about there. That's what causes men to use terms like she was a dick teaser, cock teaser, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. She did this before, and then I put the ring on it, or I committed to her, and then she switched switched up on me.
Yep, I've heard that from men. As a matter of fact, I know at least a couple of men. That's exactly what happened, is that they dated a woman, and she gave an impression that once they got married, she was going to unleash this serious freaky side. And not only didn't she, but she almost went the other direction and became more prudish after they got married.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had a guy on my show. He wasn't a guest. I think he was a call-in listener. He had something like that. He had a situation where he got married to this woman, and after she had her second child with him, she didn't really want to have sex anymore. She told him, she basically was like, the main reason I had sex was for the sake of children. I didn't marry you to have sex recreationally. So,
I think it's important for people to have those conversations up front. That way you could figure out if you want to continue with this person or you can opt out. The world would be a much happier place, don't you think?
You said they should do it. They should say what?
I think it's important to have conversations around sex early on in a relationship when you're in the getting to know one another phase.
So they should be upfront and straightforward.
Right, just like your book, right?
So you need to give me another sexy mode one.
Mode one.
Mode one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one. Upfront and straightforward.
Mode one. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one.
Mode one.
Remember, women. This is how we want you to sound. Or like. I just cracked myself up. Listeners, if you want to contribute to this conversation, call in to 646-478-5710. I'm about to take my final intermission break of the night. But if you got questions for Shantae and or myself, or just a comment you want to add, call in to 646-478-5710. Press the number 1. That lets me know you want to talk. But before I go to my final intermission, I gotta do that one more time. That just trips me out.
Alan, you're so stupid. You're stupid.
I will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavored Too, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode One.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah. It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mine says it's correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, and he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my discussion about prudish women who are reluctant to unleash their more kinky and erotically uninhibited side with Shantae Bogard on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating relationships. And we got about 15 minutes or so left in this final segment. And if you just tune in, we've been discussing women who currently would categorize themselves, or they've had other people categorize them as a prude, and what steps they can take to become more erotically uninhibited. Now, there's some women, there's two groups of prudes. There's some women who are prudish, and they don't have a desire to become more uninhibited. They're basically content and satisfied with being prudes for the rest of their life. If you're in that category, we're not talking to you, okay? All right, so just go to bed. You shouldn't have been listening to the show from the first place. You know, we've been talking about sucking dick and, you know, mothers getting banged hard by fathers. And, you know, you shouldn't be listening to that. You're a prude. You're going to be a prude for the rest of your life. But then there's that other group of women who they're reluctant prudes. They're prudish now, but they want to be kinkier. They want to be more adventurous. They want to be more experimental. You know, like the first piece of good advice my guest tonight, Shantae Bogard, gave is that good girls can suck dick too. Not just the slutty women, not just the hoary women, but good girls, you can suck dick too. I know that's revolutionary for you. That's mind blowing. You're like, wow, I did not know. I'm a good girl. I didn't know it was okay for me to put a dick in my mouth. Yes, it's okay for you to put a dick in your mouth. Make somebody happy this weekend. Put a dick in your mouth if you're a good girl. Shantae.
They needed that permission from you.
That's right. Hey, they go. Somebody's on the phone right now. They're like, girl, I was listening to Alan Roger Curry's show, and he said I could suck dick. I thought because I was a good girl, I could suck dick. But him and his guest, Shantae Bogart, they said I could suck dick. Yep. You can suck all the dick you want. So we were talking about hang-ups that contribute. What would be, say, I don't know. Well, I want you to think about some of your conversations you had maybe with a client, close girlfriend, etc. And have you ever, say, given a woman a suggestion to do something and she did it and she came back to you and was like, ooh, girl, that worked. He gave me 5 stars, for example. You were talking about anal sex earlier.
I've given advice as far as to try something that you've never tried before, even if that is watching a porno. Going to the video store, picking it out, getting a toy, using a toy in the bedroom. Some women are scared because they may think their man may be intimidated by a toy. It may be bigger than them. Well, get one smaller, you know. So it just depends.
Shit. I see some of them dildos, and, hey, I ain't going to lie. Shit, most of them motherfuckers are bigger than my ass. Shit, they make them like these them huge motherfuckers. Shit, boy. So, hey, I ain't got no egotistical insecurities against no female sex toy. I say,
see,
do
but
what
there's
you
some
do.
Women who think the guy does, or he will, or he may be fear of being judged. Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
And see, she just talked about dicks, and now she's going to say that's a big one. She just made some guys, they feel insecure. Listen to my show. They like, why she got to say it's a big one? That's a big one.
Why you want to use a big dildo? You know I'm not that big. What you going to do when I try? Are you going to moan like that? You didn't moan like that when I was inside you. Dick inferiority. I don't want to give a guy a complex, but you want to be able to enjoy and have fun. It's okay to be playful. Role play. Do something different.
Oh, I love the role play.
Role playing can be fun.
Yeah, it sure can. We got another caller, and I'm very familiar with this caller. This is area code 240. The young lady who's called into my show quite a few times, she even had her own show on Blog Talk Radio called Black Women Talk. And then she stopped doing it because too many men start criticizing black women for talking. See how brothers do? See how y'all do? They had a show called Black Women Talking. Y'all was in the peanut guy talking about them black women talk too much. And now they don't even do the show no more. That's fucked up. Hell, you brothers, that's fucked up that you did that. That's like y'all criticizing me for being too upfront and straightforward. I ain't listening to this show no more because that motherfucker is too upfront and straightforward. But this is Renee on the line. How are you, Renee?
I'm great, Alan. How are you? Happy New Year. Hi, Shantae.
Hi, Renee. How are you doing?
I know. I've just been cracking myself up tonight. I tell you.
I see.
Alan, you're stupid.
So, Renee, I know you've been listening. I know you are a woman with very strong, put that in bold italic letters, strong opinions on various issues related to dating, relationships, love, and sex. your thoughts on this topic, and what questions do you have and or comments do you have?
Oh, okay. Well, I was the one that wrote about religion. I'm not Catholic, but I went to Catholic school, and so I know that there's a lot of hang-ups about sex, and especially in the Catholic faith, at least when I was growing up. Maybe it's changed since then. But there were a lot of issues around the fact that sex was purely for procreation. It was never for pleasure. So as I in this age bracket that I'm in, I've met, you know, men that are Catholic in that same generation, and those beliefs are still there. So that could be one of the reasons why you're seeing some prudish women, is that they've grown up in this era where sex was about procreation. It was not ever about pleasure. Additionally, I think that some of the things that we see as to why women might be prudish is that we're usually just, in general, I think people are unwilling to just figuratively naked with each other. So if you never create that intimacy, if you're afraid as a woman to be open and not be prudish, and you have a guy that's not quite willing to be patient with you and work through that with you, then you just have two people who are unwilling to be figuratively naked and get intimate with each other. So you never, she never finds out what she likes. He doesn't know what she likes. She doesn't know what he likes. And you just have this, a mess. You just kind of have a mess in that relationship. So I wanted to say that. And we are back on the air. We're on Wednesday nights, 8 to 9.
Oh, well, congratulations. Back on the air.
You know, wouldn't it be nice if sex came with a, if we can, it came with a manual when you first start off having sex of what you should do in a relationship?
I'm sorry,
because we learn about sex and we learn about what's appropriate by watching others. And sometimes the people we watch are not necessarily good examples of what sex should be like.
Right.
Because we hear certain things and it's about the culture that we grow up in. It would be nice to have a book, possibly. Alan, maybe this is another book.
Oh, boy.
On how to overcome your prudishness for men and women.
Well, I've already kind of dealt with that in my books for the men. I've never tackled that with women. So, yeah, maybe that could be a book I could do for women.
I think that's a good idea, because I've asked this of people. No one really teaches you, in my opinion, no one ever teaches you all this stuff in life that really matters. You learn calculus, which you never use. And, you learn geometry. You learn all this stuff that you never use in life. But people don't teach you things like, well, you know, nobody uses a checkbook anymore. But, you know, people don't teach you things like how to balance your checkbook and how to have good credit, how to buy a house. People don't teach you how to make love. They don't teach you how to have sex and really be intimate with your partner, how to be married. All the stuff that you do every single day that matters, you never learn it. It's all trial and error.
Right.
Where do you learn it? My mom gave me a book. At 6, I read the book, and that was how I learned about sex.
You know, my father, bless his heart, when he had the birds and bees talk with my brother and I, he literally talked about birds and bees. And me and my brother were sitting there like, okay. He's like, yes, and the birds, they fly, and they fly in a group, and then there's two birds that might like each other, and then they...
Wow.
And we were like, damn... National Geographic and shit. but, you know, that makes me think of that guy. What makes me think of two things, your comments. One, going back to your first point about people who say might be in a relationship and they're not communicating with each other. I mentioned this a couple times on other shows where when I lived in L.A., I was part of this special sponsored by the Discovery Channel about sex. And about two-thirds, three-fourths of the people they interviewed were married couples or at least people in long-term relationships. And then they had about a handful of single people. And I remember listening to this older couple, middle-aged couple was talking. They had been married for like, I want to say at least 30 years. maybe 25. And the guy admitted that he had gone all this time up until this actual taping of the show without telling his wife that he wanted a blowjob. And I inadvertently said out loud, "Get the fuck out of here." And of course, the crew members were like, "Excuse me, sir, you need to, they're taping, you need to shut the fuck up." But that blew my mind. This dude was married for years, and he did not have the balls to tell his wife that he wanted a blowjob. But she said the same thing. The wife basically said, yeah, she was scared to let him know she wanted that pussy lick. And I could see if it was a man and woman who hooked up and only know each other like 2 or 3 weeks, or even maybe 2 or 3 months. But you would just naturally assume that a married couple, somebody married for 25 years would have talked about every aspect of it. But that just goes to show you, and that's the reason why they were doing a special, is that it's a lot of people in this society who fall into both categories. Like the special that was on the Oprah Winfrey Network highlighted that there's a lot of people who do a lot of kinky shit that the average person wouldn't know. Then there's other people who just are very, you know, prudish, only have sex with the lights out. So anyway, I found that interesting on that special. And then the second thing, I hate when this happens. I lost my train of thought. What was the last thing you was just talking about? It sparked a thought.
Me?
Renee. You were just talking about
things that people don't. There's a lot of things that people just don't teach us.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. That made me think of. Do you remember when there was controversy about this Northwestern sex professor?
No.
I think he ended up getting fired too. There was a professor at Northwestern University who taught, you know, sex ed, and he basically had the attitude you have, Renee. He was doing things in his class. What he got fired for is that he had a man come in there and show how to use a vibrator on a woman. But now he told his students, he said, if this is something that's going to make you, you know, feel uncomfortable or you're going to blush too hard, then don't come. It wasn't like during his regular class. He did like a class, like let's say his regular class was 3:30 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He did it like at 8 o'clock at night on a Thursday.
Okay.
And he had somebody come in and demonstrate how to use a vibrator. And most of the people who were there said they enjoyed it. But, of course, you got to have haters. And somebody went back, told mommy and daddy, hey, I think DJ had somebody really come in with a dildo. And it just caused this big controversy. But anyway, his main justification for it was along the lines of what you said, Renee. He was like, this is the shit that people should be teaching. This is actually applicable to people's lives. You know, they need to have a class where they teach women how to suck dick. A lot of women don't know how to suck dick. A lot of men don't know how to lick pussy.
Actually, there is a class in Flint that I was part of that taught that. And you got
really?
A certificate. Yeah.
Damn, I need to move it.
There are classes.
Fuck have I been doing? Shit.
No, there are classes like that, but I think what to me what's missing is that no one teaches the intimacy part of it. It's more than just the actual physical act. You can learn how to suck a dick. But there's more to it than that. There's a lack of intimacy and connection that's not being taught. How do you actually connect with that person and share your deepest feelings with them and feel like it's going to be okay? You're comfortable enough to do it. Because that would break down the walls for those people who don't want to be prudish. That may be why they are. They feel like I'm not free enough to be myself in this or to tell this person what I need.
Wouldn't that be established before you got to the sex part? The intimacy with them?
You would think it would be. But no. I think there's a whole lot of people having sex and not being intimate. I've done it. I'll admit it. You know, you can have sex with people and they never know your last name. You know you're not
being
intimate.
Oh, yeah, that shit.
Right, but you wouldn't want to look for intimacy. You wouldn't want to look for intimacy with that type of connection. But in a relationship, I would think that intimacy would be there.
You would think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, see, that brings me to another thing that I found interesting. I used to post a lot on this website called AskMen.com. That's actually what first helped my book blow up when it was just an ebook. But anyway, we would have different discussion threads the same way nowadays that people might have on their Facebook page or something. And there was something I found, all the men found very, very interesting. And Renee, you mentioned when you're talking about you can have sex without knowing somebody's name. We did this survey, kind of informal survey, a lot of the male posts, I think I was the one who initiated it. And we asked the women about things like, under what circumstances would you engage in a threesome? Under what circumstances would you fuck in the same room as another couple? And we named a couple other scenarios. The vast majority of the women, I want to say like 80 to 90% of the women said, I mentioned this in one, I think one of my books. I want to say I mentioned this in Oh, Say It Again. The women said that they would be more likely to do something really, really kinky with a new acquaintance or somebody that they knew they weren't going to see repeatedly in the future than somebody that they've known for a while and is, say, in a, you know, steady relationship with. For example, a lot of women said they would rather have a threesome with two guys that they met at a bar on a Friday night, that they just happen to be in a good mood, free-spirited mood, than two guys that say they went to high school or college with, that they've known for years. And it all came down to the fear of being judged. People don't like to be judged. And the main reason they always gave for why they would do it with strangers rather than somebody they knew a long time, they said they didn't want the people to pass that. And Renee, you know, you and I on this very show have talked about the issue
I wasn't
of men judging women. Something, in case you don't know, that's Renee's, like, that's her hot button issue, is men passing judgment on women and their sexuality and their past sexual habits and experiences, et cetera. But so Shantae, what do you think about that, about women who are more likely to do something really, really kinky with a new acquaintance rather than a guy they've known for months or years?
I think that's very true, that because their guards are not up with a new acquaintance sexually sometimes. Women are, interesting fact, women are more likely to engage in oral sex with a stranger and not feel guilty about it versus having sex with a stranger and they will feel guilty about it. So I think with a new partner, you can set the standards. Whereas an old partner, somebody that you know, it's always that fear of them going back and spreading the word about you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody you don't know can't do that. Who are they going to spread
mm-hmm.
it to?
That's true. Good point. Good point.
And men, they just as chatty as women. So, you know, more than likely, if it's somebody you know and they're chatty, they're going to tell the boy.
And Renee knows I've talked about that. I would half agree and half disagree. This is my stance on the whole kissing and telling issue, and I've said this a number of times on this very show. Men, yes, we kiss and tell, but we actually, at least in my experience, and I say this sincerely, I think most men I've talked to have agreed with me on this, men do not kiss and tell in as much detail as the average woman does. I've had my female friends and acquaintances, man, they will kiss and tell, like, every single detail of some of the ones who do kiss and tell. Now, some women that just don't kiss and tell, period. But the ones who do, they kiss and tell a lot of details. Whereas men, like, most of the time I've been around, say, my frat brothers, close male friends, they won't get into, like, what position they did and all that type of shit. They just like to say, I fuck so-and-so. Men love to kiss and tell. This is the number one time, and if listeners haven't heard me say this before, I'm going to tell you this. This is how men love to kiss and tell about a woman that they fuck, that one or more of the buddies didn't think they could fuck. So, Shantae, using you as example, if you had a reputation among my friends, like, oh, man, you ain't going to get in that pussy, not Shantae, you, dude, when hell freezes over is when you going to get in that pussy. And then I come to a party one day, I say, you walk past, I say, yeah, damn, that was fun last night. And they give you that look like, shut up, you did not tap that.
You impenetrated like, Fort Knox.
I'd be like, yeah, I did. They'd be like, no, you didn't. Did you get, dude, oh, man. There's this comedian. Matter of fact, listen, if you heard my show last week, I interviewed a guy I've known for a while, Roland Buddy Lewis. He's a comedian. He's one of the writers on the new BET show, The Real Husbands of Hollywood. And he's a funny guy in his own right, but he mentioned during the interview that one of his best friend in business is this guy named Chris Spencer. Are you too familiar with the name Chris Spencer?
No, I'm not.
Probably not. There was a short-lived show called, I was talking about a late-night talk show when Arsenio had his show. There was a show called Vibe, like the magazine Vibe. They had a late-night show, and he was the original host, but then they ended up replacing him with Sinbad. Anyway, Chris Spence, he's very funny. Whenever I go to L.A., I usually try to check him out. And he had a bit about what I'm talking about. And, man, it was so funny because the men were falling out. But at least a third to half the women, they didn't get it. And I think to a certain degree you have to be a man to get it. But if you were a man sitting in that audience, man, our stomachs was hurting because we knew what he was saying was just so truthful. Because, yeah, he was saying that. He said he was talking about sex, and he was talking about specifically casual sex. And he said, fellas, ain't it funny how we can make all this effort to fuck a woman, sometimes just one time, so that we can be at that party, that big popular party, and when she walks past, you're able to stick out your chest and say, yeah, I hit that.
Wow.
What's funny is kind of sad, but it's funny. It's sad that, honestly, we are that shallow. We are that egotistically competitive. But it is so true. And that's where most of our kiss and telling comes into play. Because, yeah, we want to be able to say, again, using you as an example, if Shantae is the one that nobody has been able to hit and you're able to say, yeah, I tapped that, guys will bow down to you. You know, they'll do the bowing gesture like, oh, man, you the shit, man. Damn, dog. You got that? Damn. And see, that's why, like, women will say, well, how come, you know, when you get a promiscuous reputation, how come men treat you, you know, talk about you like a dog? It's not like men hate promiscuous women, because we know promiscuous women can fuck. But if there's one, if nothing else, if there's one negative thing about a woman who's highly promiscuous, is that you take away that trophy effect. If I got 12 friends and this particular woman done fucked 10 of them, then who's going to take pride in being able to say, yeah, I fucked Linda Jackson? Anybody be like, yeah, I fucked her too.
She loses value.
Yeah. Guys want to be able to say, you know, they want to be the one in their group to say, yeah, I was able to hit that. And whereas most of the other guys, if not all your other guys, can't say that. They just standing there like, damn, I wish I could have had that. So anyway, I just had to put that out there by kissing it. But yeah, guys don't really, every now and then you might have some fellas who might go into, you know, explicit detail. But I know I personally, I think the best advice I got is, this is where it comes in, having an older sibling, was my older brother. I remember right before I went to college, he said, man, if you meet a woman and y'all got a special connection, even if it's just really casual, and she just got some really good pussy, he said, don't tell nobody. Nobody. He said, motherfuckers going to get curious. He said, man, I'm your brother, and I'm telling you, don't tell me. Don't fuck a woman and say, damn, dude, she has some really good pussy. She sucked dick like a champ. Because that's going to make me curious. He said, why would you want to make another motherfucker curious? And sure enough, when I got to college, some of my frat brothers, they used to tease me. They said, man, Alan, you zip mouth with your shit, man. You never like to talk about your shit. I'm like, nah, bro. Now, because since I've been a book author, I will share a lot of my experiences. But when it comes to actual, like, names, no. I'm more likely to kiss and tell to a woman than I am another dude because I ain't trying to create that curiosity.
Right. It's funny that you would say that because a good friend of mine said one of his coworkers used to brag about the girl he was with. Detail. So what did he do? He snuck up and he was doing her. And the guy had no clue that he was doing his girl. And it only started because the guy would come to work talking about in detail what they did. So he started doing his coworker's girlfriend.
He started doing what to his coworker's girlfriend?
He started fucking his coworker's girlfriend. They would even go to the point of calling him. She'd be on the phone with him while she's being fucked.
Ooh, damn.
By the guy. So.
Damn.
And it was this little game they played.
Like that. Damn, y'all just got my dick hard and shit. That's kinky as a motherfucker, man.
Say it again.
Say it again. Damn, they was fucking wild. This, damn.
Because he was stupid enough to talk about what him and his girl did with another man. So.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've told guys, again, like when I was in college, mainly, I would tell my younger frat brothers, I say, don't fall trap. Because I would see some of my older frat brothers, how they would play the younger ones. It would be so funny. Because, like, you would have a young frat brother, he might say, damn, man, I just came back from Chick's crib, man, she can ride a dick like a champ. Then the older frat brother say, when you talking about Lisa Johnson? Then the young frat brother say, no, I'm talking about Deborah Williams. Right there, they got the name. Then they say, oh, Deborah Williams live in McNutt Dormitory. No, man, the one live in Frisco. Now they got the dormitory. Then they be like, wait a minute. Frisco, the one living in 610 in Frisco? No, man, she lives in 722. Now they got the room number. And I'd be like, dude, you just gave them all the information. They wouldn't even realize it until I say it. I say, dude, you just got played. You know he about to tap that. You know that, don't you? You just gave the dormitory number, the name. You done told him all the freaky shit she liked to do with her red buttons that he can just push. Damn, man, I wasn't even thinking. I was just excited. Okay, and wrapping up, Shantae, we done extended the conversation because it was flowing so well. What's some of your final thoughts on this subject, number one? And then secondly, let my listeners know where they can find you on the World Wide Web.
Sure. My final thought is let yourself free to be you. Because you can be nobody else. You may be missing out on something if you don't. So it's okay to be a freak. I give you permission, good girls, to suck the good dick.
Say it again.
I give you permission, good girls, to suck a good dick. Ooh. Not any old dick, but a good one.
Ooh.
So you can find me on the web by going to my website, and that's www.shantaebogard.com.
All right, listen. Oh, and thank you, Renee, for calling in as usual. I always appreciate your input on my show. Listeners, that's going to do it for my episode for tonight. I don't have my guest confirmed for next week, so just check my website for what's next week's guest and the topic. But, Shantae, it's been a pleasure conversing with you and having you drop knowledge on my listening audience. And continued success to you. And I'm going to have to come up to Flint, Michigan. They teaching classes by teaching women how to suck dick. See, I come up there on the lucky weekend. A teacher be like, we need a male volunteer. What is your name? Alan Roger. Alan Roger, come up here. Now, these women are going to take turns sucking your dick, and you tell them which one. Oh, man, shit, that's... Oh, man, Flint, Michigan is on the map. Listeners, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. I will see you next Thursday.